Welcome back, everyone, to this Laser Cube podcast. This is episode number 7 and was part 2 of our purchasing process for getting yourself a Laser Cube. And in this one, in this episode, we're going to be... Oh, and once again, Dean Brennan is with me here. I want to make sure I...
Chop liver.
I'm just so excited because I want to hear from Bobby here because this is a pretty interesting interview that we did because it specifically focuses on those who have very specific needs and they need to customize their machine. And that's really... sort of what Bobby talked about.
That's right. And again, it's this, we're talking about the buying process. What was very instrumental was Bobby coming to the factory. But in the case of Michael, he's looking for the best job shop machine. And in the case of Bobby, he's got a specific idea of how he's going to use it.
Exactly. And it starts with him sort of explaining what exactly it is that he does. So let's hear what Bobby has to say.
We build sheet metal parts, which are used in HVAC systems. So it could be reducers. It could be boxes that interface the ductwork into the actual house, like a register box. It can be several different things, elbows, fittings, all kinds of stuff like that. The IPG, when we visited, would like to say that it's a very, very much a first-class facility. Was well impressed. First impressions are always a good thing, right? You know, when you come into the facility, it's clean. It's very lit. You can tell that just from the order and the organization there, from the way it looks, that things are built professionally. Looking at the lasers, how they go together, as far as how they line them up with laser beams and things like that, from an automation standpoint, was pretty impressive. Was well pleased with that. Also, the demonstration, too, had a really good demonstration there for me to be able to cut both my parts that I wanted to, you know, to be able to cut, to physically inspect them to see how they were going to look at the end of the day. So I was well pleased with that, too. So overall, my trip to the IPG was very well enlightening, just to see, for one, how they assemble the units, also to see how the actual physical unit cut itself, and then also to be well impressed with the employees and also the professionalism that came along with it.
Yeah, so going back to what you said, Dean, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're buying something at Costco or if you're buying a laser cube, like being able to test something, I think, is one of the most important aspects of it and seeing how it actually works.
Oh, yeah, and my job is managing the sales here. Is we're looking at how do we do this so it's the same every time we can replicate these demos. Bobby wasn't going to let us do that. And of course, you know, sales guys are always promising everything. But what happens is we got into the meat of it and what Bobby wanted to do with the automation. And none of the engineers at IPG could say no.
Well, yeah, and that brings us to the next clip where he talks about what exactly he was looking for and how he was able to get it.
So we decided as a company to integrate two lasers into an automated system in which we will use a robotic palletizer, if you will, to be able to load and unload the systems. So we've gone through an extensive design to be able to make that happen. That's one of the things that I'm most impressed about with IPG is the fact that we came in and said, hey, this is what we want to do with your machines. And they have been more than willing to accommodate from a programming standpoint and from an implementation standpoint on how we can actually make that happen. This is kind of a out of the ordinary, I guess, integration, if you will, being that we're going to try to integrate two lasers into one robotic cell. It's going to be a little unique, and the engineers there at IPG have been more than willing to work with me and make sure that we're accommodated every single way that we need to. So I've given them a lot of criteria and said, hey, this is how I want your machine to work. And they've come back and said, hey, we're going to do our best to give it to you that way then. And so for me as an engineer looking to integrate these machines, that was very well pleasing to be able to have that accommodation.
I couldn't imagine something... anything more than being able to hear that. If you're someone that's looking to buy something and they say, here, this is exactly what I need. And then he gets it.
Well, yeah. And we did not reinvent the wheel. So whatever modifications we made to the laser cube, it was from existing options on the machine. So it wasn't from scratch, but we were able to accommodate them that way. And one thing I wanted to point on, because on the other podcast, we've always talked about the size of the machine. And in this case, size mattered. It's easier to handle smaller blank sizes. And I think that's what he's talking about in the next segment.
Exactly. Let's go to clip number 3.
There was a couple different things that we looked at to be able to make that decision. for me, it was not so much of a small table versus large table as much as it was cutting hours on the machines to be able to accommodate for our product demands. So we did an evaluation, and we said, these are the parts that we want to cut, and this is our annual volumes, and this is how long we think it's going to take to cut them on each machine. And so when we looked at the numbers, two machines cutting would be able to accommodate more volume than one machine cutting. That was one of the biggest deciding factors. Also, to go back to the 4 foot by 5 foot, or to from the 4 foot by 4 foot to a 10 foot by 5 foot, it is a lot easier to work with a smaller pallet than it is with a larger pallet. We have some larger items that we use in-house that use a 10-foot pallet, and it's just a little bit cumbersome to deal with those pallets. In and out of aisleways, making sure that, you know, you've got forks that are long enough on forklifts to be able to handle that kind of stuff. And then once you do finally get, you know, parts cut and on a 10-foot pallet, then how are you going to handle them from an employee being able to pick the parts out? So we decided to go, the 4-foot was definitely a better option because most of the pallets and stuff that we handle in-house are standard pallets, which is closer to a 48 by 48. So that was one of the deciding factors. But I would say that the annual volume consumptions and also just the amount of cutting time was probably the number one decision to be able to go with two lasers versus one laser.
Makes sense, right? Smaller footprint, speed.
Yeah,
makes sense.
And Bobby was telling me offline that how we set up our HMI and in the controller and such was conducive for him to be able to manipulate what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And we're gonna wrap up this episode going back to Michael, who we of course were talking to in the first part of this podcast series, where he basically just sums it up for us. So let's get to final clip of the episode.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean, like anything, you know, there's a learning curve. You know, you putter with it, you know, and you can get really good, you know, with it. But it's a very capable tool. In my experience with other machines, okay, the HMI is relatively simple on the machine. It's a G-code machine. But it does what you ask. You know, so the tech tables and your interface with the tech table, it actually does precisely what you ask. Okay. And you get not some kind of wonky result, but kind of what you would expect. And that's a little different than other machines and their controls. And there's a little more hocus pocus in getting other machines to actually do the things that you want them to do. I will say that there's a couple of very nice features. The resonator itself is a very high-performance piece. I think that anybody getting one would be very pleased at the range of flexibility in resonator control that you have, because it really makes a huge difference when you're cutting difficult materials or you want to achieve a dross-free cut. You know, you have all of these toys to play with, and they really all work spectacularly. So you can go fast, you can go slow, you can do anything that you want. That's unusual.
Well, I will say, I feel like pretty much any question someone might have about the process or the machine has been answered. And if they have another question, they can always visit the factory.
True. And we've done what, 7 segments now, and your eyes are still glassed over when the customers are talking.
Yeah, no, a lot of numbers, and you know, I talk for a living. I don't do math for
our
a living.
Customers are smarter than we are. Trust me.
That's usually the way the world works. I will tell you, in my limited experience, that's usually the way the world works. Well, Dean, this has been episode number 7 of the Laser Cube podcast on the process of purchasing a laser cube. Dean, appreciate you doing this with me.
Thank you very much, Tyler.